Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God's word which we receive this morning is from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So far the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. Be strong in the Lord, putting on the whole armor of God. The medieval knight is a picture for us of nobility and strength. But what was the reality of actually having to put on and wear armor during the medieval ages? In some respects, it was actually easier than we might imagine. For one thing, the armor of medieval knights was a lot more flexible than it looked. There are stories of knights actually doing cartwheels in their armor to show off how much they could move, and they could actually swim. It's hard to believe somebody wearing metal armor, full metal armor, could swim, but the historical records assure us that they could. On the other hand, it was definitely in some ways an inconvenience. It would have been very hot inside of that armor, especially on a summer day. And it took a long time to get all that armor on. Two squires working quickly still took at least half an hour to put all that armor onto a knight. As much as we might romanticize and idealize the picture of a shining knight on his noble steed, few of us would probably actually want to have the inconvenience of putting on and wearing the armor in our everyday life. Unfortunately, we tend to do the same thing with the passage that Paul has before us, the scripture is laid before us this morning. We take a look at this description of God's armor, and we really like the description. We put it on posters and flyers, and we make nice, beautiful pictures, maybe even put it up in our house someplace. But how often do we actually take the time to do as Paul says? And to put on the armor that God has given to us through Jesus Christ, to begin our day wearing that armor. No matter how flexible, there's no doubt that wearing that armor was very inconvenient for 13th century knights. And yet they took the time to put it on, when they were going into battle anyway, because they knew that that armor was the difference, or could be the difference, between life and death. Somebody standing in the middle of a battle without any armor or shield or sword would not have lasted half a minute. And Paul stresses in our text that we also are going into battle. He stresses in our text the spiritual hosts of wickedness that are arrayed against us each and every day of our lives. And therefore, he encourages us to take the time, no matter how inconvenient we might think it be, to spend 20 minutes in our morning in prayer and devotion. Paul stresses the need to put on that armor of God that we may be protected against the very real threats that face us each and every day of our life. Be strong, our text begins. Be strong, although actually the Greek there is be made strong by the Lord and by the power of his strength. We cannot hope to stand by virtue of our own strength. We need to be made strong through his strength and through the armor that he has given us, and not neglect putting on that armor of God. Stand therefore, he continues in verse 14, having girded your waist with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate was probably the most important piece of armor. Even to this day, when we no longer wear full suits of armor, police officers still do wear the modern equivalent of a breastplate, body armor, to protect their, when they're going into a dangerous situation, to protect their chest. The breastplate would have protected vital organs like the heart and the lungs. But it's also the easiest target for the enemy. And so it was a very important piece of armor. Where is it that we are most vulnerable? That, of course, we are most vulnerable to the attacks of Satan in our sinfulness, in our guilt. That's where Satan can most easily attack us. And in order to protect our most vulnerable areas, Christ has given us the breastplate of his righteousness, the proclamation of justification through his death, that we might be forgiven and know that Satan cannot harm us. Protected by Jesus' righteousness, we cannot lose, as Paul reminds us in Romans 8:33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God and who makes intercession for us. There's actually a great deal of contention concerning this very verse, this breastplate of righteousness. Some people argue fervently that Paul here is talking about our own righteousness. He's talking about doing what is right so that the people of this world have no way to attack us or bring it down. And it's true that doing what is right, being honest and truthful, does help to protect us from the attacks of our enemies. You can think, for example, of Daniel. You can think how Daniel's enemies wanted to bring him down in front of Cyrus. If he had done anything wrong, if he had been dishonest in any way, they certainly would have found it. They searched diligently for a way to accuse him before the king. But because Daniel was honest and upright in all that he did, they had nothing they could accuse him of until they tricked Cyrus into making a law about who Daniel could and couldn't worship. Doing what is right can help to protect us. Doing what is wrong and sinful can often lead to difficulties in our lives. Sinful actions can destroy our relationships. They could make us lose our job or even end up in jail. Paul reminds us in Romans 13:3, rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. So certainly there is some truth in the idea that we ought to live honest and upright lives. However, remember how Paul began this section. He began this section by reminding us that we do battle not against the soldiers and people of this world, but against the forces of darkness. And against the attacks of Satan, our own righteousness will not avail us. We need armor far stronger than doing good in this life. We need the righteousness of Christ. From the 13th to the 15th century, there's actually an arms race between the armor of the French and the longbows of the English. The French had to keep upgrading their armor, making it stronger, in order to stand against the power of the English longbow. even the full suits of armors of earlier ages could not stand against the power of the English longbow. In the same way, our righteousness cannot stand against the threats we face. We need something much stronger. We need the righteousness of Christ. Protected by his righteousness, the attacks of Satan cannot harm us. Paul continues in verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In Greek mythology, the god Hermes was supposedly the messenger of the gods, and he had special winged sandals, supposedly, that would cause him to be able to fly quickly to bring the missives of the god wherever they might send him. In a more modern setting, Red Bull is supposed to give you wings, right? I've never tried it myself, but I don't think they're being literal there. A cup of coffee is enough caffeine for me, but Paul makes it clear, however, in our text that it is the gospel of peace, the joy of knowing what Jesus has done for us, which gives God's people the strength, the energy to go out. His gospel of peace is kind of like a person who's had too much coffee, almost jittery with energy, with that joy. We think of Peter and Paul and their proclamation. How can we possibly stop sharing, proclaiming the wonderful things that God has done? What other reason could we possibly have to, as Jesus tells us, go into all the world other than the joy of knowing what Jesus has done for us and the joy of knowing the peace that comes through the forgiveness of sins? The prophet Habakkuk reminds us in the second chapter, verses 2 and 4, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he who reads it, the just shall live by his faith. It's that peace of God, that knowledge of what he has done for us, and understanding and truly appreciating it that causes us to go and run with that message, just like the shepherds did on that very first Christmas day. They could not stop from running over and telling everybody that the Savior had been born. And David reminds us in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of your salvation, then I will teach transgressors your ways. Isaiah the prophet also reminds us just how beautiful are the feet of those who go to proclaim this gospel of peace. Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace. It's difficult, if not impossible, to find footwear that is both stylish and practical, right? Especially, I think, for women. Maybe less so for men, but especially for women. Jesus here, God here, gives us footwear that is both beautiful and practical. The shoes of the peace of God are beautiful because they bring the message of joy, and practical because they give the Christian believers that endurance, that strength, that rejoicing that causes them to share what we have in Christ. That's why Paul reminds us in his epistle, be always ready. Be always ready to give a defense for the hope that is within you. And he encourages us in our text this morning to daily search the Scriptures for that joy of his salvation, that joy of what he has done for you, so that being filled with that gospel of peace, we may go quickly to share it. Paul continues in verse 16, above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield which Paul mentions here in our text is specific. The word is specific in the Greek. It's not one of those small round shields that they might use when battling one-on-one or in the arena. This is one of those big, large shields that you see the Greeks and the Romans using in battles. You've probably seen documentaries or movies about how they put the shield in front of them, and the soldiers lock the shields together, and then the second row reaches with their shield up over the others and create an impenetrable wall that arrows and charging horses have difficulty getting through. The word in the Greek that is translated here as shield actually originally meant door. So think of taking your front door off its hinges and putting a handle on it. That's what Paul is talking about. A protective shield that you can easily hide behind and against which Satan cannot prevail. All of Satan's temptations, every single one, boils down to an attempt to get you to doubt God's word and his promise. Eve took the apple, or the fruit, I shouldn't say apple, the fruit, because she doubted God's word. Abraham gave in to his wife, Sarah, and slept with his maidservant, Hagar, because he doubted God's ability to fulfill his promise. Our doubt of God's word opens us up to Satan's attack. It's because we doubt God's promise of eternal life that we are tempted to spend our time finding happiness in this life instead of looking forward to that life which is to come. It's because we doubt God's promise to always provide and take care of us that we are sometimes greedy and selfish and slow to share and help those in need. Doubt of God opens us to Satan's temptations. On the other hand, faith is that solid shield which Satan cannot penetrate. Because of faith, David did not give in to temptation when he faced Goliath. By faith, the three men did not give in to temptation when they were about to be thrown into the fiery furnace, but trusted God's promise. By faith, Daniel prayed three times a day with his window open, trusting in God's promise. Psalm 22 describes for us the agony of Jesus and the suffering of Jesus on the cross. And in that psalm, we find references to Jesus himself then looking back to the fulfillment of God's promises in the past to find comfort and strength while he was on the cross to trust in the promises of his Father rather than give in to the temptation to come down from the cross. Psalm 22 verses 4 and 5, "Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed." God does not ask us to trust his promises without proof of his faithfulness. He has given us innumerable examples of his faithfulness, his keeping his promises throughout the Old and New Testament, so that we might be sure, that we might be certain that God will keep his promises to us as well, and that we can hide behind this proof of his faithfulness to avoid Satan's temptations. Therefore, Paul urges us to daily search the scriptures once again to see these examples of his faithfulness and to use them as a shield against Satan's temptations. In verses 17 to 20, Paul goes on. He adds to the shoes of the gospel and the shield of faith, he adds the helmet of salvation, encouraging us to keep our eyes fixed on that life which is to come, that salvation which is to come, instead of being distracted by the things of this life. He talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, because God does not want us to merely be passive in this fight. He wants us to learn how to use his Word so that we can effectively attack the lies of Satan and proclaim the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. All these things Paul encourages us to daily put on so that we might be faithful and bold soldiers of the cross. Once when I was teaching in Zambia in Africa, I was going over the seven things we want to make sure that we include in every Sunday worship service. And one of the pastors raised his hand. He said, "There's not enough time. There's not enough time to do all of that in one Sunday service." My response to him was twofold. Number one, you can do all these things even in half an hour. But number two, they're all too important not to do. Our sinful flesh would like us to believe there's not enough time, that we don't have time to daily put on that whole armor of God. But Paul impresses upon us in our text the fierceness of the battle that we enter into each and every day, and the need then to put on the whole armor of God. A 12th century knight would not have hesitated to take the time to correctly put on his full armor when he was going into battle, because he knew how important it was. Neither should we hesitate when we face the spiritual forces that are arrayed against us. We cannot stand on our own. Our own strength and cunning is not enough to maintain, to stand, to come through the battle ahead. But thanks be to God who has given us strength through his Son, Jesus Christ, removing our sin and has already given us the victory, as we heard about in our children's sermon, has removed the poison of sin and death so that we may stand in the last day and enter into his eternal blessing. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.